Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So I was sitting around the Thanksgiving table, and I can't remember if it was my mother or one of my sisters. By the way, if it was one of my sisters, it was Leslie. She says, I don't really like your opening theme song. Crank it up, Leslie. This one's for you.
Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Ah, it's so great to be an old guy now and still be able to annoy my sister. Good times.
What doesn't she like about it? Did she say specifically?
She asked me who it's by. I said, I don't know. She asked me what are the words. I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. Just know I like it. Everybody have a nice Thanksgiving? Any issues? Anyone? Anyone?
No issues. It was really
all good. All
really
fun?
Good.
Yeah. How about you?
Fun? Yeah. Low key. Good.
What do you mean issues?
Oh, no.
Did you have any problems at the house there, Vanderbilt?
Oh, no. I wasn't even at my house.
Oh, you're in Wisconsin.
I don't know what happened at my house.
Everything went fine?
Yeah. It was great. Great trip. A lot of deer hunters.
Were you out hunting?
No, I was not.
Appearance by Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken.
No. I got two deer with my car in high school.
Wait, what?
Good job.
I grew up in upstate New York. There were deer all over the place. I hit two deer.
Oh.
Not at the same time.
Oh.
It's not like they were traveling together. They were separate deer.
It's like a flock.
The second one I hit ended up in the lawn. They both died. Don't worry, I was okay.
Oh, were you okay?
Ended up in the lawn?
Yeah, ended up in the lawn of a girl from high school who was always kind of mean to everybody.
Oh.
And it seemed like a symbolic gesture.
That was nice. Yeah.
She said, oh, dear. So,
how'd you do, Steve?
Me?
No. No, me. I'm talking to myself. Yeah. How'd you do, Steve?
How did I do with deer? Or?
No, with Thanksgiving.
I did well, thank you.
Everything went well?
Yeah, I had a nice week off. Yeah. Very relaxing.
Did you do anything fun? Did you go anywhere?
I did. I went to Wisconsin. I went hunting.
Were you with Mary?
I was not. I was not. But I was out there hunting.
Like hunting animals?
Yes.
Where? No. Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No, I didn't kill any animals.
I was going to say, Steve, you're an animal lover.
No, I went along for the ride.
Did you go out? Did you put on the Wisconsin overalls?
I did the orange, and I took
Murrow. Oh, please, God, tell me there's a picture of that.
Murrow with me. We went, it was nice.
Please tell me there's a picture of you in bright orange overalls.
There's not. There are
put
no
put on the Illini Nation website.
Sandberg, put off everything else on the show today and search for that photo.
No, it's actually one of the first times I've ever been hunting, so I just went along for the ride to see what it was like.
My dad and all his buddies, they would go hunting all the time, and I could never do it. I mean, I went out with them a couple times. I carried the gun, my own, and I fired, shotguns throughout my life various times.
I was supposed,
but I couldn't shoot. I couldn't shoot
well.
A deer. No.
Oh, I couldn't either. I went hunting. Well, I almost went hunting for clay pigeons once, but that's not really.
That's not hunting.
Hunting.
That's sports shooting.
That's sportsmanship.
I think if I were hungry enough, I could do it. But
what,
I don't
eat a clay pigeon.
No, hunt for kill something to eat it. But no, I couldn't.
There's nothing wrong with hunting if that's your thing. I just couldn't do it.
And it's such a social thing for these guys up there. Yeah. I mean, that's all they do. I mean, we saw quite a few of them in the establishments. Afterwards,
the bars.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, it is. You're right. Absolutely right. There were so many people out. We had a cabin in Wisconsin. That's where I was at for a few days. And they're just, hunters were everywhere.
Got to be a picture. So, there's got to be a picture of you in orange.
They all ride those gators now.
What are the gators?
Gators are like ATVs, but they're...
You're gonna walk? Walk in the woods.
Like
you walk in the woods.
Them,
you get out and you walk in the woods.
That's what we did. We walked and walked and walked.
Well, yeah, they go to their tree stands.
Here's an unexperienced hunter question. So once you make the kill and then say you want to go to the establishment, what do you do with the deer?
The deer is brought back to the establishment, the cabin,
and
skinned.
And you hang it and
hang
skin
from
it.
A tree and skinned.
Clean it out.
And it's skinned, cleaned, and cooked.
Yeah, you can pay people to do that. Yeah.
And you know what venison tastes like?
It's delicious.
It's not
chicken.
Bad.
tastes like chicken. It's like chicken in the woods.
Venison stew is very
chicken.
Good.
It's delicious.
See, I'll eat it. I am not a vegetarian by any means, but just watching the skinning and the stripping, I couldn't
watch
do
it.
That. No,
and you used to have to register your deer at a at a place, you know, an actual like convenience store.
Right, and then it'd be a website where you get spam from other deer. Yeah. I know. Every time I register.
Everything's online now. You just register your deer kill. And
swipe left, swipe right.
Yeah.
Well, you look for the barcode on the deer, and then you just scan that.
They all have tags. You have to get your tags. Mm-hmm.
How about producers Jacobson and Sandberg? Anything? Thanksgiving all good? You guys hearing the show? Yeah, nodding doesn't work on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah. First day?
Are they alive?
Everybody have fun?
I was out hunting with Steve in the woods.
You were? Yeah. Well, then you must have the photo.
Shh, be very, very quiet.
Yeah.
It's 6:15. I hope everybody had a fine time, and I hope your family's left.
Oh, Steve, you had fun as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You know, we had a low key Thanksgiving. I mean, we had the family together, but my mother and my little sister Jen did a wonderful job of cooking, and they set up like a buffet, which eliminated a lot of stress that normally is around the dinner. Everybody has dinner stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the people in the kitchen are, and I helped a lot because I kept going in the kitchen, going, "When's it gonna be ready?"
Get out of the kitchen, Kyle.
6:60. We'll come back to the top six at 6. Dr. Kevin Most on a Monday coming up. Hamp on the Red Hot Chicago Bears. Ryan Noble's later. The president will be calling in, trying to explain why he thinks Time Magazine might consider putting him on the cover, even though he doesn't really want it. Mike Ditka later. You might have heard of him. Dean Richards later as well. Prince Harry's engaged. Patty Vasquez after 9 in the CLTV hour. And Brian Campbell. We'll be on with Breakfast of the Blackhawk, as usual. It's a jam-packed show, and I appreciate you listening. 6:17. This is 720 WGN, and that's Mary.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, kind of interesting. Hurricane Maria, of course, forced them from their home. Now Puerto Rican students head back to school in Chicago. Chicago Public Schools said over the past several weeks, 140 kids from Puerto Rico have enrolled in 73 schools, and I believe one of them is in all likelihood, Annabelle Laval's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Is it nephew or niece? I think it's a niece.
I thought it was her niece,
yeah. It's a niece, yeah. Who is living with Aunt Anna and family, Steve and the family. That's a good news story out of all the bad news in Puerto Rico. Next. Congress is back today. Woohoo! A cavalcade and a cornucopia of things that won't get done before Christmas include the tax plan, which will go to committee. They anticipate it will get out of the Republican-controlled Senate this week. And then there'll be a committee composed of, and by the way, this is again why Donald Trump needs a schoolhouse rock. Because I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill would be perfect for him right now, so he can understand that the bill is not a bill of his signing and for his signing until it comes out of committee and then is voted on in both houses.
Yes.
Leaders of both parties have publicly played down the possibility of a showdown, a December government shutdown. We're out of money as of December 8th, and both sides have floated the possibility of a short-term stopgap to push negotiations until just before Christmas, because that's how they work. That's how the members of both parties work. They don't do their job. They procrastinate and extend their job and make excuses for why they're not doing their job. That's your elected representatives. Next. This story is just really disappointing. One of the biggest Black Friday must-have new guns. The FBI's record of background check requests was beaten on Friday. And frankly, pummeled 203,086 new background check requests for new gun purchases on Friday.
Previous was just went over 185. That's, so you're right. They did pummel their
record. Disappointing. Then there's this. President Trump is being sued by Leandra English. Who's Leandra English? She is a person who assumed she would be the Consumer Protection Fraud Bureau's new boss. She was deputy chief. The standing chief thought he would stick around. Mr. Cordray couldn't agree with Mr. Trump's people. He resigned rather abruptly on Friday. The bylaws of the Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau say that the deputy takes over. The president says, and his legal counsel backs him up on this, says, I have the ability to fill vacancies. I'll fill the vacancy. And he has put his his budget guy in, and Mr. Mulvaney. Mm-hmm. Mulvaney would still continue to be the budget guy and would temporarily handle the Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau. The Financial Protection Bureau was established by Elizabeth Warren after the meltdown of 2008. It was shoved down Republicans' throats then. So this may be some measure of payback, or it may be, because there makes no sense that he would want to pick this fight right now. Or it may be I'm overturning everything Obama ever did, or it may be I have something up my sleeve related to Wall Street that I haven't talked about that I want to do yet. The I in this case is the White House administration. This is not Donald Trump. He doesn't have any ideas. So we'll find out where this goes, but it's a nerd showdown today in Washington.
Oh, completely. The weirdest part, the whole thing is weird, but while he was in Congress, Mick Mulvaney actually voted to kill the organization. The
Bureau. Yeah, and then maybe that's why he wants to run it.
It's bizarre.
So, there's this. David Haw on the Bears and John Fox, quote, most inept performance of the John Fox era. And he's calling for immediate change at Hallis Hall. Let's go live to Dave Ennett at Hallis Hall right now. Dave, first off, turn the lights on. I can barely see you. I know that they're trying to save some money up there for a new coach.
That's not a bad idea, though, at this point.
Will he be fired before the year's over?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
What do we have, three left?
What are they? They're 3-8 now, so they have five games left.
Five more weeks of this?
Okay, he's supposed to talk to the media today. Yeah. What would he say?
Well, he'll say the same thing. He'll say what he said after the game.
I didn't see it coming yesterday. The Eagles are they're fast. Can they actually fly?
This is what he said after the game when he was asked about it.
I've answered this plenty of times. You don't come into this job, whether it's a player or as a coach, with questions about your job security. You know, frankly, I don't give a rip. You know, I mean, that's not why I do this. You know, whatever happens to the things I control is I'll work to control. And that's the...
I don't even know if I work here.
Wait, was that the tape? Was that on the tape? I don't
know. There's the last piece of tape. Okay. You're going to edit that part out. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you and I agree.
It's not going to happen now.
I don't think so.
It is going to happen. It sure seems like. I mean, somebody asked me yesterday, well, what if they win out? It doesn't, at this point.
No, it's over.
Now, they do have, the good thing for them, they have San Francisco and Cleveland on the schedule. Those are their two home games.
And in Cleveland and San Francisco, they're both going. The good thing is we have the Bears on the schedule.
Still.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And then finally, the good news.
You know, it's all a problem.
Prince Harry is finally off the market. Good God. Thank God that creep's going to get married. One of the good ones, by all accounts, Prince Harry is now engaged to one Meghan Markle, American actress Meghan Markle.
Yes.
We probably should get Paul Coyd on about this. Not that he even knows it happened, but at some point, having a British accent on would lend some authenticity to the story.
The Queen said she was delighted.
Yes.
She's a Northwestern alum, you know.
Meghan Markle?
The Queen?
Yes. What is she famous for?
Suits.
What? She has her own line of clothing.
It's a show, Suits. It's a really good show.
Cable hit, right?
Yeah. It's on, is it FX or? I forget.
Obviously, it's a big one for you.
Yeah.
USA.
USA.
But yeah, it's a really good show.
Yeah. And she's delightful. And, you know, these kids, when they start out, they hope to have enough money for their own palace someday.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's an American?
Set some money aside. Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. Now, does he have to give up being a prince to marry her? Or?
He's fifth in line. It's never going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The queen's never going to die. The queen's going to live to be 209.
But if for some godforsaken reason,
Will he be able to? No. The little tykes are ahead of him now.
Yeah, I think Harry. Yeah, Henry. Yeah. No, wait. What's the little one?
Harry.
Is it Harry?
I think so. Isn't it?
No,
Harry?
George.
George. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Harry's this guy.
George, Charlotte, and then she's got a third
Spanky,
baby
like
on the way.
Yeah, George, Charlotte, and the fetus.
Harry's never going to get there.
No, he's never.
How about poor Prince Charles? He's like, what the heck happened?
Chuck's never getting the hat. It's over for Chuck. It's 6:30. That's your top six, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And we're back with the big story, which is what?
Cyber Monday.
Next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh. Pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Munn, sponsored by...
I've got a stomach pain that's low,
fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Northwestern Medicine, making people better by
He's
making
from
medicine
Central
better.
DuPage Hospital.
And your Northwestern Hospital
Call
Network.
Dr. Moose right now.
Morning, Doc. How was Thanksgiving?
It was great, Steve. I know I caught a little bit of hell for ruining green bean casserole for a lot of people. And I didn't realize my daughter Callie told me, hey, you didn't talk about Jell-O shots. I didn't realize that Jell-O shots are now a tradition with the millennials for Thanksgiving. So,
you sure that's not some sort of scam to try to get you to sign on to Jell-O shots being a tradition?
Yeah, that could be. So I had to add it to next year's, yep.
All right, let me jump in here because you and I were going to talk about this, a while ago. Cigarette advertising. Now, you may think, Steve, why are you talking about cigarette advertising? Well, it's pertinent to the larger discussion, but cigarette advertising was made illegal on television and radio. It feels like back in the 70s, wasn't it?
Exactly, 1970, and it actually went into place January of 71. So, yep.
But print advertising still okay?
No, even some print advertising on local in-store is okay.
And billboards.
But now. In billboards, exactly. Right. Billboards, some states are no, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
All right, so where do we stand on this, and what do we know statistically about what it does or doesn't do?
Well, it's interesting. If anybody read the paper yesterday or saw television, primetime television yesterday, you saw some ads that looked a little unusual. And what happened was decades ago, we were being told that cigarettes were safe and don't worry about it. And then a lot of studies came out, and we proved that that was totally false and we had been misled. So the federal government said, you have to write this. And they've been arguing for the last 11 years how they were going to get the true message across. And that actually just started this weekend. So people are going to see these kind of unusual ads for the next year based on this federal decision that the smoking companies must tell us now about how bad cigarettes are.
And are these separate from the big pharma ads that have smoking cessation products out there?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see some of the ads like from the CDC where they show somebody who's struggled with cancer, or they show a fetus and what smoking will do to a fetus. And, you know, those are very dramatic ads. The ones that you're going to see from the federal or from the tobacco company are very bland. Single page, blocked letters, just very simple fonts, bullet points. They obviously, over the last 11 years, have argued to a point of what's the minimal we can do to fill this requirement and educate the population.
And this all relates to the tobacco company. Is it Altria?
Yeah, Altria and Lorillard, which is Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds. You know, it's all the big tobacco companies now essentially just belong to a couple. And unfortunately, the goal for this was to try to stop young kids from starting to smoke. And it obviously is not going to work.
Well, statistically, do we know kids are smoking more, less, or the same?
Well, they're smoking less. There's actually less smoking going on across the country. But 9 out of 10 kids are going to start smoking before the age of 18. So these ads are being placed in the wrong place. They're not being put on Hulu. They're not putting, Netflix.
Kids aren't going to see them. Place.
Exactly. Do you tell me a kid who reads a newspaper now, and you tell me a kid who watches network TV in prime time?
No. You watch it when you want to watch it, and if they can skip through the commercials, they do.
Right. So it's still the leading cause of death. 200,000 people a year are diagnosed with lung cancer, and about 120,000-150,000 die every year because we're catching up with all those baby boomers who were being told that smoking was safe.
This comes down to the same thing always, right? Better parenting, teaching kids not to smoke, getting off the stuff yourself. And granted, I've never smoked, but I certainly know and love people who have, and how difficult it is to quit. But you got to quit, and you got to set an example for your kids, and you got to keep them from doing it.
You said it well. But, anybody who's smoking who has children, really stop smoking. Those are the kids that are going to smoke because they're seeing you smoke. And trying to get that across to kids is probably very important, and it is a parenting skill. Just because you're doing something that's harming your body that you can't get off of, tell your kids how addicting it is and tell them how many people die from this.
Tell them how miserable you are. Right. Tell them how much you want to quit.
We all know people who used to smoke and have quit. If people, and now people who are, say, our age are saying, gosh, I wish I would have never started smoking, could the effects still be harmful all these years later, even if you say quit 10, 15 years ago, maybe longer?
Yeah, you'll see your risk of lung cancer go up after you hit about what we call 30 pack years. So you hit that point and your chance of lung cancer goes up. The damage that's being done to lungs is not something where you can stop and the damage gets repaired. Some of your lung will clear up definitely after you stop smoking. But if you're a heavy smoker, some of the damage like from emphysema and things like that are not going to be repaired. However, the sooner you quit smoking, the better your chance you have for healthy lungs going in the future, obviously.
We'll come back. I want to talk about the Affordable Care Act and where we are with the enrollment period for most folks wrapping up in a few days, if it hasn't wrapped for you already. And what do we do going forward? What do you guys do as a major hospital? How do you plan for the future? All that in a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The president would like us to think it's dead. There's no hope in saving it. But people have one insurance plan, and it's the ACA. It's not dead, is it?
It's not dead. And everyone needs to understand that it's not dead. And the tough thing is that we're getting so many mixed messages coming out of Washington. And couple that with, when you remember when the Affordable Care Act first came out, there was a lot of advertising about it. There was, you know, informing people about it, and you saw ads all the time. They cut their advertising from $100 million down to $10 million.
That was a Trump move to try to facilitate the end.
Yeah, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, that's
well, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's a Trump administration move anyway.
Yeah.
This is my words, not yours.
Right. And you have to also realize that we used to have people, because insurance is so confusing. Everybody is confused. So we had people called navigators that would help you pick the right plan, do all that. Well, those navigators were also slashed by 40%.
So what that means is less people exposed to the idea, whether it's a reminder or, you know, a key that we have to do it now, which means just knowing how we know human nature, less people are going to sign up. What happens to them?
Yeah, you miss the sign-up period, you're out. So, you know, you're paying the tax at tax time, the penalty, but you're out. So the other thing that's weird, Steve, is we used to have 3 months, and this year we only have 45 days. And you layer it right on top of when Medicare is, and I'll tell you, people are going to be confused. Medicare open enrollment closes December 7th. Everyone, seniors, need to know that. If you need to re-up or if you need to change your plan, the December 15th date everyone's talking about is not for seniors. The December 15th is the Affordable Care Act. And so, it was shortened from 3 months to 45 days this year.
So, obviously, you've got just a few days to do it. You shouldn't put it off by doing it. But, again, I come back to the thing I've asked you many times, and I don't know if the answer's changed. I don't know how you plan. You're in the health business at the highest level, one of the most important hospital systems in the country. How do you plan for the future, not knowing what healthcare insurance is going to look like next year?
Yeah, and it's difficult to do. It's difficult to plan when you start to say, okay, what are we going to replace this year? What needs to be replaced? Where are we going to grow? Because, like you said, the budgets for all these hospitals are very difficult. You know, and I'll tell you, we're very fortunate. We're a successful health system. There are others that are, you know, living dollar to dollar and are going to have some very tough times. It's not unusual now. I get Becker's every morning, and it tells us, you know, another hospital closed here, another hospital closed here. So, you know, very concerning from the hospital side of it as well.
All right. So if the marketplace insurance is for people who don't get benefits from their employer or don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, how is that different?
Well, the people that don't qualify for the, you know, with your employer, they might have an employment. Their employer says that we're not going to provide any health care benefits. You have to go to the marketplace to buy it. The other individuals who are Medicaid, they have their own. And then the gap people who make enough but still fall under federal poverty level, they're going to get a subsidy. And that subsidy hopefully will carry them over to a point where they still can afford insurance. The difficult thing is we're seeing these increases in the premiums. So even when you increase the premium and you're getting a percentage off, there's still more money coming out of your pocket. And these are patients and families that live paycheck to paycheck.
Say hi to Doc.
Doc, last time we talked about this, you said it was even hard for the doctors and the hospitals and the organizations to answer a lot of these questions, basically just because we don't know yet where we're going to fall into these categories. Is that still the case? Has anything become a little bit more clear now, or is it just completely muddled like before?
Well, it's a great question. It's a very interesting question because in some places, like here in Illinois, we have three to choose from, and in Cook County, there's actually four to choose from. But you take 39 states, one half of the people in 39 states don't have a choice. There's only one plan being offered. In the state of Iowa, there's only one single plan being offered. So it's not like you have a choice anymore. It's not like I have to figure out which one I want. You just have to go and sign up because you don't have a choice. You see where you fall in the federal poverty level, and now you know what your premium is going to be. Before you said, is my doctor in the plan? Oh, he's in this other plan. That's gone for a big portion of the country.
You know, it's easy to demonize the insurance companies here and make them the bad guys. And certainly every business, hospitals, radio stations, insurance companies could all be done better and should often, you know, always strive to improve. But the insurance companies, as a for-profit model, have to try to figure out their future as well and whether or not they're going to have young people sign up or not, whether or not there's going to be a fine or not. And what we know, Doc, is that you need young, healthy people to sign up to pay for the older, sick people. So what's the upshot here for you?
Yeah, and that is the concern. If those young, healthy, so, you know, if you've been watching the news at all, it says, oh, enrollment is up when compared to last year. Enrollment is up for the first 3 weeks. But they also have to realize that the number of days is shortened by half. So enrollment's really not up. Enrollment is down. And a lot of these millennials waited till the end. So you're hopefully that they at least are informed that the 15th is the end now and not in January sometime when it used to be. But for those individuals, those are the ones that are concerned because now they will be without insurance. They won't get the screening that we need to identify diseases early. They're going to show up in emergency rooms. And it's going to, again, now make the ripple effect is premiums will go up next year as well. So we're in a very difficult position right now with this.
All right. So what should people do? When you talk about going into 2018 and 2018 and the entire House turning over and key Senate seats, what do you want people to say to their reps, wherever they're listening around the country?
Yeah, you know, are we going to end up going to a single payer? Is this going to end up being a Medicare on steroids or a Medicaid on steroids and the government's going to run them all? We certainly, at least in my opinion, we don't want that. We still want insurance companies to be running some of this. So really look at your area and look to see what's being offered in your area and tell your congressman, tell your senators that you want choice. And in order to have choice, you have to make sure that we get enough people enrolled. So pushing for enrollment, making it easier to enroll, making sure that people know about it. So cutting advertising and cutting navigators is not the way to do this.
The cost of the insurance business is much less than the cost of running into these emergency rooms, as you said, because it jacks up everything. But the one thing I continue to hear from a cost perspective from people, and certainly I saw this myself just a couple weeks ago when I went through the sign-up process again, is co-pays and deductibles. So you anticipate anything changing there?
No, I think you're going to start to see more and more people go to that high deductible. You know, it's going to keep their premium a little bit lower, but they're also going to be at more risk. So those young, healthy people, they may go to those lower bronze plans just to pay the least amount, although many are saying go to silver. It makes the most sense. And you're starting to see even people in their company businesses with us are taking insurance. We have more and more people going to high deductible saying, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to get covered for, you know, my major stuff, but I'm willing to take a $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 deductible.
I don't know who's writing these websites either. When you look at these plans, you know, if you consider yourself a fairly intelligent individual, look at these plans and the way they're laid out. You'll feel stupid in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you know what they all should be? They all should be written. The people that write these, they should be written for, say if I was sitting down with my grandmother, mm-hmm. how would I explain this to my grandmother? And then write the website that way, write the wording, write the examples in the website that way.
Yeah, when you're sitting down with different people and you think you're all the same intelligence level looking at each other like, I don't get this at all.
No, that's crazy.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Worse, we try to write our discharge instructions at a fifth grade reading level.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fourth for me.
Hey, let me say one more thing, too, and I know you're late, but I'm just going to say it real quickly. You know, we're talking about cigarette smoking and youth. We really have to be concerned about this vaping. You know, that's a big thing right now, because although they're not smoking and they're not smoking tobacco, they're still getting that nicotine. They're still getting hooked on that nicotine, and they will end up to be smokers. So that is something in industry I think we need to control and take a look at.
And the gum is bad, too? I mean, I know it's not as bad as the actual cigarette, but...
Yeah, you know, the gum is actually okay, because the gum is being used to help you quit along with other medications, and the patches, that's for the guy who wants to quit. The vaping is kids who want to get that nicotine high.
What about the nicotine bread and butter? Is that bad? What about the nicotine sandwich? Is that bad?
Right. That's going to be on the Thanksgiving meal next year.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Thanks for making us better, and we'll talk to you later.
You got it, man. Bye.
Coming up. Dan Hampton on your Chicago Bears. Do you hear the boys yesterday? After the game?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even have to have the radio on. You could hear them. The radio could have been off, and you could have heard them yelling.
And that was weird, because I was in Naperville, Steve, out near you, and I could hear them.
I was in the south suburbs. And
I went out to my car, and I was going, what is that yelling? It was these guys downtown.
Yeah.
It's 7:02. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN. Dan Hampton.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Eagles pick it up. Did they secure it? Touchdown. It's all going right.
Really need any more indication of the contrast between a well-coached organization and a bunch of fumble bums. All you had to do is watch today.
They don't get the right personnel in at the right time, and it shows up.
Not to talk in circles, but our defense was so confused down there. I saw three plays today when our defense didn't know what the hell they were doing. We're a bunch of clowns, and it's enough already.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. I felt for you yesterday, Hamp. I didn't have to watch the entire game. You had to. And I don't care how good your free lunch was. You probably threw it up sometime before the end of that one.
Well, the good thing is it was a holiday weekend, so we had holiday pay. So, that comes in handy over the holiday weekend.
Jake, go back and listen to the predictions on Friday. I think I may have been closest in my blowout prediction. But go back and check those out. But, Hamp, I don't know. What do you see? What do you even say about a game like that?
Well, and again, it's predictability is what is so sad. Now, think about this, folks. You know the rallying cry of all wannabe NFL teams is on any given Sunday. You never know. That's why they sell tickets. We'll wait and see what happens. Well, go back and listen to me on Friday. I said, hey. Number one, you better bring your helmet and your lunch, because they're going to knock the heck out of us. And they're the number one offense. They get the best run-stuffing defense. They got seven guys that can rush the passer. You know, we may not want the plane to land. And essentially, that's what happened. And that in itself is an indictment of not only John Fox, but now Ryan Pace has been drug into the spotlight. Due to the fact that when you play a team like the Eagles, and again, we have to remember, just 16 months ago, 17 months ago, they had Chip Kelly, and they were buffoonish.
Right.
They made some really smart decisions, and they went with a real bright, young, offensive-minded coach, Doug Peterson, and they decided Carson Wentz is the guy that we want as a quarterback, and we're not going to sign some stooge named Mike Glennon to hold off his development and stymie him. We're going to give him the ball the opening day, and guess what? 17 months later, they're the best thing going in the world of football, and it's by design. This just didn't happen. Some smart people made decisions to make this happen. So look at us by contrast. Not so many smart decisions, are there?
So what about all the penalties? I mean, look, the coach isn't on the field, but we always talk about that's bad coaching because these guys are undisciplined. Is that your theory as well?
When it all breaks down, you know, we all have a certain, what would you call it, like a routine, and everyone has to be so well drilled in the fundamentals and the techniques that penalties don't, you know, I remember I would go years without jumping off sides. You know, and then, by the way, the Eagles jumped off three times in the first drive of the second half, which gave us, enabled us to score our wonderful little measly pop gun field goal. But, I mean, those are, you do the right things over and over again. You drill it in. And then when you're in a situation, when you're on the road in Philadelphia and you got to stay on side, you stay on side. That's because you're competent. We're incompetent. We don't know what we're doing. We have indecision. We're not well versed in school in what we're trying to do offensively and defensively, and that's where the penalties come from. And, you know, just other things. You know, the Don Trolleyman is the new receiver, and, okay, do we throw him a pass? But he, you know, he kind of botched a high pass from Trubisky yesterday, which resulted in a interception. And you got to catch that. And at the very least, don't, you know, let it tear him up to be intercepted. So all these little fundamental things, and we talked on Friday about the fact that, you know, we're in a must-score drive situation against Detroit the week prior, and Tariq Cohen isn't even on the field. And when he was asked, he basically said, well, I don't know how to do the two-minute offense. We're in December, and he doesn't know the two-minute offense. This is insanity. So this is not a well-coached team. I've been saying it now for 2 years. Now everybody's getting to see the proof in the pudding when they go out there on the field and make the messes that they make on a weekly basis.
Have to the Bears miss Leonard Floyd that much?
He's a good player. You know, Mr. Cat, and I know everybody's sick of hearing about the Super Bowl, but go back and look at it. We had 9 or 10 first-round draft picks starting. And not just once in a while. Everybody started all year long and played every play. And okay, was it – well, I'm just saying, when you have good players, and he's easily the best pass rusher we have now that Willie Young's out, you can't afford to miss him. And how did he get hurt? His own teammate tears his knee up because he's got horrible tackling technique. So, I mean, all these things, it starts rolling up in a ball, and it's just it's incomprehensible how, when, you know, everybody thinks at the beginning of the season, oh, this is all going to work out and all these best laid plans. Boy, this has gotten ugly. We've lost 4 in a row. The one yesterday is a house cleaner, if you ask me. When you run, you know, we say, oh, we're going to run the ball and we're going to control the line of scrimmage, and we run for 6 yards on offense the whole game, all day, 3 hours, 6 yards, the second worst in the history of the franchise. It's time to start saying, okay, we need to find out, you know, what the next plan is here.
I will come back. There was an example last night of what good coaching can do, and it's really going to annoy you because it's the Green Bay Packers. Stand by, and Hamp will bring more of that in just a moment. But first, here's Mary. 7:25. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. You know, Hamp, I neglected to say this last week, but I know you agree with me. I'm thankful for our friends at Chevy. I'm thankful for Ray Chevrolet. I'm thankful for my Tahoe. I'm thankful for Mike Hillstrom and everybody at Select Marketing. I'm thankful for all those people.
Boy, you are exactly right. We are so thankful for those great folks at Chevy. But, you know, let me just say this. Just like, you know, everyone has to make assessments at certain times. And if you're not getting the job, then you got to make sure. Well, you know, I drive the Silverado. Well, they completely redesigned the Silverado.
There you go.
What, 4 years ago, and boom, now it's the number one selling truck in America. And you know what? We need to redesign a little football team right here in town, don't you think? So we can be the number one team in America.
Well, and that's a perfect segue into what I witnessed last night. There they were, the hated Green Bay Packers, with a quarterback who looked scared to death last week, throwing off his front foot, throwing sideways, running around, clueless. you're thinking they're not going to come close to winning another game. They not only came close to winning a game, they drove it to overtime last night as deep underdogs on Sunday Night Football with his kid quarterback, and I wouldn't have taken Aaron Rodgers over him last night. That's got to be coaching to build him up like that.
It absolutely is. And see, that was the contrast. See, like I said, when Chip Kelly was at the Eagles, they were 7-9, and the ownership of the Eagles had no interest in going another step down that road, and they got rid of him, and they brought in smart coaches, and guess what? They changed and transformed the team. And when you look at how we approached yesterday, we were lifeless, directionless, coaching, it was vacant. Yeah, and again, another one of the cuckoo clock of the NFL, John Fox. We go on the road to the number one team in the NFL, the number one offense, the hottest quarterback, and we defer and kick him the ball to say, hey, put us in a hole. We're tough guys. Go ahead. Put us in a hole. And guess what? They did. And it never never let us up for air after that. So at some point, you have to think about coaching. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying, oh, this is the week we get the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is out. And I said, no. I said, Mike McCarthy is too good a coach to lose four in a row. And you know what? He was able to beat us. Now he struggled. And again, the next week. But ultimately, the NFL and the talent level is so comparable. You've got to be able to – in a systemic way, devise offenses, defenses, plans, game plans, motivation, all those old catchphrases and intangibles, they become more and more and more important. And that's why we are now 3-8 and have nowhere to go but the shopping mall of NFL coaches here in a month.
And the Steelers, by the way, won that game late last night in case you went to bed.
They got a last second field goal.
30, I said overtime. They didn't go to overtime.
But they were on their way to overtime. 31-20. And then Pittsburgh, hard to believe. Pittsburgh's lost two games. One of those, by the way, was to the Bears in overtime. Yeah. That's just, but Hamp, there was this reluctance to put Mitchell Trubisky out there his rookie season. We went through the Mike Glennon thing early in the year, and then finally they decided, okay, it was time for Trubisky to play. Was this the kind of thing that you were worried about with Trubisky, that he would have a day like yesterday? Or is this all part of the growth process for a rookie quarterback or for a young quarterback?
Well, yesterday was almost a situation where you worried about him getting scarred mentally.
Yeah.
Let's just say, we all seen these things where the 7-year-old's flying an airplane. And I wouldn't put little Dan in an airplane. But guess what? if he knows what he's doing and he's competent, they were scared to put Trubisky out there because they knew they could not sufficiently equip him to be able to survive and thrive. And so, unfortunately, when they were, push comes to shove, Glennon falls apart in little pieces. They got to put him out there to save, whatever face they have left. And there's been a little bit of good, but yesterday was the most bad in a seven-game stretch where he really has never been good. Now, we've had huge upheaval in the offensive line, changes everywhere, every position. Seems like on a weekly basis, the receivers, we all know about that. But at the end of the day, we are doing a horrible job of giving him a game plan. I'll tell you this, said last night on Fox, the first quarter of the last week's game against the Detroit Lions, Dow Loggins had his best game plan. We came out, we went five wide, we did read option, we had half boot rolls, we had quarterback runs. We had, it was a wide open, diversified offense where we were able to move the ball, make first downs, complete passes, do all the, keep the defense on their heels. Yesterday was garbage, and we never engaged. We never was able to run the ball. Then Trubisky, who, when all things, crumble around you, you've got to start making throws. Well, he starts questioning his reads. He stops stepping into throws.
Got a little happy feet going on.
Yeah, he never stepping into it, and it's a lot of times throwing off his back foot, and most of his passes were either high or behind. and he's lucky he didn't have five interceptions instead of just two. So all those things, they add up and they fall up because you didn't do the little things at the front end and preparing. Now, remember, Carson Wentz, hottest quarterback on the planet, 28 TDs, five interceptions. I mean, that's amazing. Well, they gave him the keys in the opening game last year. And I remember second week of the season, Philadelphia comes in here on Monday night. We all expected to beat them. Well, no, they beat our eye teeth out because they showed then this is a young man that knows, you know, what is required to make the reads and stay in the fundamentals, be able to throw the ball. Now, he had a couple of, you know, rocky games at the end of last season where defenses kind of caught up with him a little bit, but you'll have that. Unfortunately, we never caught up with the defenses as far as our offense. We're still behind the eight ball. So, again, it all results and goes back to the fact that we went into this season unprepared, ill-prepared, however you want to call it, and we've never been able to recover.
It's Dan Hampton. You know what I like to say at a time like this, Hamp? Bring on the 49ers, baby! We will break it down at the end of the week. At least I hope you'll show up, Hamp. You may go into witness protection just so you don't have to watch any more games.
Well, I just got to tell you, at some point, you know, we'll hopefully have a bright, shiny day ahead. Maybe this will be it coming up. But, you know, after yesterday's game, like I said, it's a house cleaner. Let's stand back and see who's going to go buy some packing material this week.
Yeah, you're exactly
right.
Someone
soon.
You know what? I'll leave you with this. I was having Thanksgiving with the family, and my brother-in-law, Ian, is old country Irish, grew up in Ireland. And he's an American now, and he loves American sports, but he doesn't love the Bears. And he said, listen, the Blackhawks, the Cubs, he said, this is too great a city to have a team that bad with all the resources and all the other abilities that they could have to muster and put a good product on the field. And he is a hardcore sports fan who I think echoes the beliefs of every Chicago fan now. We deserve better. And you've said it a million times.
Amen. Amen. And like I said, hey, it's sad. We can't – how long – where's the new low? How far down do we have to go before we make a change? Let's be optimistic. Maybe it's this week.
All right. See you Friday. It's 49ers week.
Boy, that gets the juices flowing, doesn't it?
A little different meaning than it had in the late 80s, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 7:33. We'll come back and get your big story in just a moment. It's about what?
CTA attacks.
Stand by for that ugly story. And Ryan Nobles, he tried to say. I got quite a list for Ryan Nobles this morning from CNN. That's coming up, too, on 720 WGN. Oh, and the president's going to call before 8. Stand by for that, too, on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I don't know what winning looks like with Roy Moore. If he wins, we get the baggage of him winning. And it becomes a story every day.
I just still think he's innocent until proven guilty. And I know that I am not for abortion. And I know he is pro-life. And I'm a huge pro-life supporter.
Do you believe the allegations at all that have come forward?
No.
You think these women are lying?
I don't know if they're lying.
I would rather be mauled by badgers than vote for Roy Moore.
Wow, that's a strong sentiment. What brings you to that conclusion?
Because he doesn't understand the Constitution of the United States, and he is a demagogue.
There's been a spate of badger muggings in Alabama lately.
Wild badgers, right?
Wild, very wild. Ryan Nobles, our friend from CNN. Ryan Nobles joins us now. Good morning, Ryan. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. Great Thanksgiving, Steve. Thank you. How was yours?
It was delightful. And what was the you were tweeting about? What was it, a high school football win? Or was it a college football win?
My college, yeah. I went to the State University of New York College at Brockport, Division III, which and our team made it to the Elite Eight, so we're pretty excited about that.
Alonzo Stag Bowl coming up, baby.
Ooh, District 230.
That's right. We're in route. Yep.
Well, good luck. All right, so I've got a new blog up about this Roy Moore mess. It's called Sweet Home Alabama with a question mark, and it's up at WGNRadio.com on Twitter and on Facebook, and I hope you'll read it. The point of it being, why would these women make this up? Why? And the fact that Roy Moore has done nothing to prove his innocence. What happened to his big handwriting analysis? Where are we with that story?
Well, it's funny you mention that because that's part of his argument. You know, that's the kind of shred of doubt that they're trying to plant because he claims he hasn't got this yearbook back from Gloria Allred. So the fact that they haven't been able to analyze this yearbook all by themselves is enough to absolve him of all these accusations from all these different women. And that's enough for him to tell his supporters that they should still vote for him on December 12th. I mean, it's basically been a lot of just deny, 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 try and divert and distract attention away from these allegations. And in some cases, like in the sound that you played going into us, is basically accusing these women of being liars. And I think I'm interested in reading your piece, but I think there's a point to be raised here. What does it benefit these women to lie about this situation? There's no financial gain for them. The notoriety that they are getting is probably unwelcome. It's not easy to be in this kind of spotlight. There's no upside to it. So it's hard to imagine why someone would look at these accusations, all of these accusations, and think that these women are just making it up.
You know, the sad thing about this is the hypocrisy goes both ways. Yesterday, Chuck Todd was grilling Nancy Pelosi on Meet the Press about help me out, I'm spacing on his name. John Conyers. John Conyers, who she called an icon. Well, yes, he's a civil rights icon. He also is a dirty old man. And he was one that wrote the rules. The rules to report harassment on Capitol Hill are insane. And they are specifically to protect the offender, even to the point of taxpayer dollars paying. And in the case of Conyers and his office, allegedly the woman that he most abused, if you could grade it that way, was given a no-show job just so she'd keep her mouth shut. Look, he's got to go. I don't care how sane or senile he may be. He's got to go. And to see Nancy Pelosi sit there, she's just as bad as anybody else. And she just tacitly is making excuses for Roy Moore by not standing up to Conyers.
I think you're 100% right, Steve. And I watched what she said on Meet the Press yesterday. It's hard to not draw comparisons from Pelosi's stance as it relates to Conyers to the president and how it relates to Moore. And, you know, for a simple observer, you look at that and say, well, she's standing up for him only because he's a Democrat, and the president's only standing up for Moore because he's a Republican. And Chuck Todd actually made the point yesterday on Meet the Press that we are at a watershed moment in American history when it comes to sexual harassment. This is something that we've finally woken up to. It seems as though most Americans are starting to understand that this is a huge problem, and it's not a Republican problem. It's not a Democrat problem. This is just a problem. And if politicians are going to continue to retreat to their corners and defend their guys who are accused of really bad stuff, then this problem isn't going to go away. And Pelosi took a lot of heat for how she handled that situation with Conyers yesterday. I'm very interested to see how this plays itself out. Conyers has said that he's going to step down as the ranking member on the House Judiciary Committee, but he continues to defend himself and say that he's done nothing wrong. And Al Franken yesterday finally spoke to the media after basically being in hiding for the last 8 days. And he said he's going back to work this morning. And he apparently is going to defend himself and try. Now, he's admitted guilt, but not perhaps at the level that some others have. You know, where does it end? What responsibility must an individual who's accused of this take? What are the consequences for these kind of actions? These are things we're all figuring out. But the idea that this is just going to simply go away, I think, is a fantasy for any of these people involved.
Right. The buck stops with the top, literally. President Trump now, Ryan, said that Access Hollywood, that the tape is fake. Yeah. Big story over the weekend. Vanity Fair, I believe, broke the story saying that Donald Trump,
he
refused to withdraw support from Roy Moore, even in the wake of everything going on, that he is reportedly now saying that that tape where he was saying grab women by the you-know-what is a fake.
Yeah, and it was in the New York Times this weekend as well, where he essentially said he believes the tape was doctored, that it didn't really happen, which is just fascinating because now he's contradicting himself. I mean, you remember when this all happened, he actually apologized for it. And then his argument was that it was locker room talk. So he made excuses for it all along the way. You know, I was at the White House on the South Lawn a few weeks ago when he was leaving and was talking about these sexual harassment situations, and it was looking for an opportunity to hammer Harvey Weinstein.
And one of our producers asked him about the Access Hollywood tape. And even then, he just called it locker room talk. He didn't say that it was doctored. So now that he's actually changing the narrative once again, is just fascinating. And I think you're absolutely right, Andrea. We can talk about Al Franken. We can talk about Roy Moore. We can talk about John Conyers, Al Franken, all these guys. The biggest problem is currently the president of the United States. And he continues to deny. He continues to still have supporters. And, you know, where the consequences lie for him, I think we still don't know.
You know, Katie Turr, also in Meet the Press yesterday, I thought said it very well, where she said, okay, how low is the level we're willing to go?
Right.
If it's not sexually abusing a 14-year-old girl, what's the floor?
Absolutely.
You know, where's the line? How deeply are we going to go to protect Washington, to protect politicians?
And all these allegations to you guys that are coming out now, many of these surfaced a long time ago, too, especially with Conyers. There was a concerted effort a year ago, you remember, Ryan, when he showed up with the pajamas on. And that was Democrats saying that he needed to step down.
He can be an icon, and he could be too old for his job. Yeah. He's 88 years old,
right.
And by all accounts, he can no longer do the job. That doesn't, however, excuse himself from what he has apparently done to multiple women while in power. It's ridiculous. By the way, before we let you go, what are you chasing today? What's the big story in D.C.?
Well, I'm interested to see what happens when Congress gets back, because now we've got, you know, this tax reform bill that I think they really need to get something done quickly before this election on the 12th. And, you know, Republicans are still pretty confident that they can get it done. The CBO score came out this morning. There's good and bad news for Republicans when it comes to this bill. This is, you know, all eyes on the prize for Mitch McConnell. I mean, it might be too much to ask to get it done before the 12th. But he needs to get every single Republican vote in line if they've got any shot at getting this done. And I think there are many Republicans that are basing all their hopes on 2018 on getting this tax bill done. And this is a crucial week for that. A lot is going to happen this week to see whether or not that tax bill gets done.
Follow Ryan online and, of course, see him all day on CNN and every day as well. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
I never know if I should pick up the phone. Should I pick up the phone? You know, it's on the phone.
Yes, I think you should pick it up.
It's the president.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a vote. Dave, should I pick up the phone?
I think you probably ought to.
Andrea, pick up the phone?
Yeah, definitely.
Vandeville, pick up the phone. It's Trump. Should I pick up the phone?
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me to do it. I'm not doing it.
All right, I'll pick up.
Yeah, you do it.
Let's go to the phone now. Mr. President, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Cochrane. Cyber Monday. Got to catch those money-saving deals while you can. I, for one, am doing tremendous. It's not even 8 a.m. I've already bought two congressmen and three senators for the tax cut bill votes at a hugely discounted price.
Well, it's nice to see you saving us money. How was your Thanksgiving there at Mar-a-Lago?
Tremendous. It was a tremendous dinner surrounded by the people I love and my daughter, Tiffany. I sat at the head of the table. You know, Don Jr. sat next to me monitoring Twitter while I ate. And Melania sat alone in her room crying. Something about feeling trapped. I don't know. I couldn't make out what she was saying with all the blubbering.
Right.
Oh, that and the thick walls surrounding her chamber. And then, of course, at a Trump family Thanksgiving, there's always that one crazy liberal tree hugger uncle who makes a lot of non-racist, non-confrontational comments. It just ruins it for everyone.
Well, I heard you got some golf in. Boy, that's a nice change for you. Tiger Woods is down there. Is that right?
Love the golf. Yes, and Tiger played great. You know, frankly, he kind of surprised me. I don't know if he could hit my driver like that without popping like 9 Xanax. I could tell you that.
You also golfed with the great Jack Nicklaus. Was that a separate deal?
Yes, separate deal, different outing. The Golden Bear, which coincidentally is the same nickname Vladimir Putin gave me during a hotel stay in Moscow back in 2014. Anyway, Nicklaus is moving a little slower these days. I mean, Jack's so old, he turned pro way before Roy Moore's accusers were even born.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, so you got this Time Person of the Year story. You tweeted that they called you saying you were going to be named. They denied it. They're not going to announce it until December 6th. You said you turned it down because they demanded an interview. What gives here?
I took a pass. Look, all I said that I was probably going to get it, okay? But it doesn't matter because I passed on it. Excuse me just a sec. Has Time Magazine called yet? I saw the light blinking on the extension. Just let me. Okay. Sorry.
Who's watching your phone? Is that Pence? Is Pence watching your phone for you?
There's nobody calling, sir. You go on with your call. Unless you want me to take you off because the questions are getting hard.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine, Mike.
All right. Tell him we said hello.
Anyway, Where was I? Oh, yeah. You know what? What I was saying is it doesn't matter because I've already been on the cover many, many times.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, it would be easier to count the times I haven't been on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
When it wasn't me, it was usually some foreign loser like the Pope or Obama.
That's not true.
You didn't know this, but People magazine was going to name me Sexiest Man Alive,
really?
Doctor. I passed on it. I passed. I told them, give Blake Shelton a shot. Come on.
That seems fair. Listen, we know that's not true either, but out of curiosity, have there been other magazines that have put you on the cover? What are those ones?
Let's see. There's Narcissist Digest. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have.
Lots of subscribers.
Yeah.
Lots. Then there's Autocrat Week, The Nationalist, and Mail Order Bride Monthly, where I find Melania.
All right. So there's a New York Times report over the weekend, and this is amazing to me. It says that you may now believe that the voice talking to Billy Bush on the Access Hollywood tape isn't you. It's somehow been faked, even after you admitted it was you, and you apologized before the election. What are you saying about this?
Fake news. It's total fake. Fake audio, fake video, fake recording. It was totally doctored. Anybody could have done it. My son Barron can do it on his MacBook Air, and he's like 9.
I think your son's 11, sir.
Whatever. Look, find me any man or woman who's been in the same room with Billy Bush for longer than 45 seconds. It's near impossible. He's horrible. He's definitely no Steve Cochran, believe me.
Well, thank God for that. All right, last question. We saw you reference this yet-to-be built border wall in a tweet over the holiday. Is this wall ever going to get built?
It's getting very exciting, Cochran. Look, the wall is going to be beautiful, Steve. Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got the plans on my desk right here. Look, there's going to be a life-size Our Lady of Guadalupe statue positioned every 50 feet along the span with hidden speakers playing Tejano music. And if anybody gets too close to it, the Virgin Mary releases a cloud of mildly toxic nerve gas.
It's
beautiful.
Well, you're obviously caught up in the spirit of the holiday season, and thank you for calling, sir.
In no way do you want the last 5 minutes back, believe me.
That's a present. This is why I hesitate to pick up the phone.
Toxic nerve gas from the God. Okay.
Listen,
wow.
It's an accessory.
Apparently.
It's an upcharge. You got to pay more. Deeds coming up. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. We'll get to the news next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
live to Channel 9. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was okay.
What do you mean, okay?
Well, I poisoned my family.
What do you mean you poisoned your family? Dean and I wrote this earlier. What do you mean? Is everyone okay, Dean?
Well, it was... I catered. I hosted at my house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm very, very busy.
Oh, very busy.
And I didn't have time to actually cook myself except for a couple of Greek specialty items. So I ordered, one of these deals where you get the Thanksgiving turkey and the fixins and the sides.
Yeah. Did you get it in the can where you just pop the can open and it all comes out?
I now wish that I had, but... Nearly everyone at my family gathering got sick the next day.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So at least you can say, Dean, it was the place where you ordered the food, not you.
That's what I'm saying.
Although,
this is one of Chicago's premier food critics and food experts.
Oh.
This is the Anthony Bourdain, minus the tattoos, of Chicago.
As far as you know.
Right.
Of Chicago killing his family.
Almost.
Boy.
Almost. And... See, what really makes us uncomfortable is I was the only one that did not get sick.
Wow.
That's weird.
Wow.
But my mom, going to be 95 in January.
Yeah, you definitely want to get her sick.
We hope. We hope she'll be.
She got sick. My brothers, my cousins, my aunt.
Wow.
Everybody's sick, sick, sick. Sick and sick. If
wow.
I had had the Pepto-Bismol concession the next day, I would have cleaned up.
And did we figure out what it was? Which item?
No.
Could have been anything.
Could have been anything. I know it wasn't the Greek stuff that I made.
That's right.
My stuff was
Well, what did you
meticulous.
Not eat that everybody else ate?
I don't know. I wasn't watching everybody else's plate. I wasn't that hungry because I did cook and, You know, I was, you know, I was like preparing stuff and, you know, doing stuff. So, you know, when you do that, you're not that hungry.
Wow.
So I don't think I gorged as much as everybody else did.
Why are you trying to kill your family?
Well, you know, I'm just sick of them.
Just tired of it. Just had it. Just tired of it.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
So everybody's okay now, but...
what do you say?
It was an emodium-filled weekend.
Who called first to say they got sick?
My cousin.
Oh, no.
And of the people in the family, would he have expected that?
And her little kid.
Oh, little no. Kid. How old's her kid?
The little kid's, you know, like 10.
Wow. Wow. Uncle Dean killing his family.
Yeah. Boy. Yep, from 10 to 95, I take care of everyone. This is my way of saying, I dare you to let me host Thanksgiving again.
I don't think you have to worry about that anymore, Dean.
And you're literally the only one that didn't get sick. Not suspicious at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, eat off that platter.
Right. But Dean, should turkey be that pink? Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
You didn't have any ham, did you?
I like it medium rare. Actually, we did have. We had turkey and ham.
Oh, because my whole family got sick on a ham last
year. Yeah, but you had the Wisconsin
Christmas.
Ham.
No, this was the day after Christmas.
Wisconsin
yeah.
ham.
No, we were at home.
You got sick last year?
Yeah.
So what are you saying? Dean had last year's ham?
I'm just saying maybe
from Mary's house.
From Mary's
house.
I don't know. Could be ham.
I have no idea what it was. I had, you know, everybody took leftovers. Everybody threw away the leftovers.
Sure.
As did I. It's the one thing that I was really looking forward to most because I didn't really eat that much for Thanksgiving dinner. But I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have some awesome turkey sandwiches. And, you know, like I like to make after Thanksgiving, if it's not poison, a sandwich that's turkey, stuffing, and cranberry sauce all in one sandwich. Delicious. I had to throw everything out.
I was going to say, Dean, you could try it just to see if that's actually what it was.
No, but then, you know, I might get sick. I don't,
well, you know,
it's not
though.
Worth it.
The good news is we actually have a photo gallery up of all of our Thanksgivings, including the one photo I contributed.
Yep.
And no one's vomiting in any of the photos. No. So if you want to go and see our happy Thanksgivings, you can go the WDGNradio.com website.
By the way, I saw a picture of little Grace.
Abigail Grace, yeah.
Abigail Grace. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
Kind of cute, isn't
a
she?
A cute child this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she's kind of cute.
You have a cute little grandbaby.
Yeah, I'm going over to watch her again this afternoon, or as I like to say it, sleep while she plays.
Yeah. If you'd like to bring her over to the house, I'll be happy to make lunch for you.
I was going to say we could go by and see you. I don't see that happening.
I was going to say, I think she watches you is what it more
yeah,
is like.
Yeah. Pops, wake up. I'm too little to watch myself.
What's Seagram's?
Franzia.
Pops, the police are here again. That's so not true and wrong. It's 8:18. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Dean will tell us exciting show business news, including I'm so excited for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, Frizz and Glush and Farfik Nugent. Because, you know, who knows? Maybe they live here. Maybe they live there. Maybe they focus on her career. Maybe they focus on his.
Doesn't that sound like a name that should be on Ronan Martin's Laugh?
Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
I hope they save enough money to buy their first palace. That'd be great. You know, kids don't have much when they start out.
They just appeared at Kensington Palace.
Oh, they did?
Just a few minutes ago, they did a little photo op, an awkward photo op.
Imagine this. She's divorced. Her mom is black. Her dad is white. Yep. Ooh, tough day at the Queen's. I'm sorry. I'm willing to get used to many things, but this will take a moment.
Back in the old days, that would be reason for abdication.
Yes, it would. <would.
laughs> Back in the good old days.
Tell Harry to call me immediately, and not on that thing that buzzes, on an actual phone. It's 8:19 and a half. Back with more of the Inn in a second. Before we do that, here's Mary Vanderbilt.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
8:24, let's go back to Dean now. All right, so Meghan Markle, she's famous for what show? This is the fiancé of Prince Harry.
Probably most famous for the TV drama Suits.
Okay.
She was in Suits. She was in Horrible Bosses. She was in
What's she doing, Horrible Bosses?
Remember? I don't remember the character, but I was just looking at her bio.
It's one of the great Shakespearean-like films of all time.
You got to be a major thespian to be...
I loved Horrible Bosses.
In,
very funny movie.
In that movie. But also went to Northwestern University.
Where she played for the Northwestern Wildcats.
Where she was a quarterback for the Wildcats.
And Dave called all her games.
So she's got a little bit of Chicago connection.
I couldn't help but notice she dated a particular fella for 7 years and then was only married to that guy for 2 years. Do we know what happened in that?
I do not. I have a call into her today. I'm sure she'll be calling me back shortly to let me know why her previous marriage broke up.
Yeah, I was saying to Andre, it'd be funny because she and Harry have only dated for like a year and a half. It'd be funny if they haven't discussed where they're going to live. And she goes, Wait a minute. I'm not moving to London.
I live in Malibu.
why is it about your career? Why don't you move here?
She seems like a lovely young woman.
Well, he's great, man. He's great from the Invictus Games to, taking the lead on talking about his mom and all the things that she wanted to get done and, talking about mental health. I couldn't be a bigger fan of the old Harry.
Is he still in the British Army, the Air Force, whatever branch
of
service?
No, I've removed him post-haste. I don't think he is. Or are you always? I don't know. What do I know?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's always hopping out of an airplane or something.
Well, he's Prince Harry. He could take a jet if he needs to. We have a new Miss Universe. Is it me?
It is not. The honor this year went to, wait a minute, I've only done the story about 15 times this morning.
Of course, committed to it.
Of course, I can't remember. The winner is Miss South Africa, Steve. Miss South Africa.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Was the big winner this year. Apparently, she had some sort of skirmish in which she was held at gunpoint, so she is very passionate about
it. By one of the other contestants?
Was not Miss Congeniality, apparently. She's very passionate about self-defense for women, and she's going to bring that passion, she says, to her Miss Universe platform.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing that too.
Miss Columbia came in first runner-up. Miss Jamaica was second runner-up. And Miss USA, Kara McCullough of Washington, D.C., only made top 13.
Yeah, she's a huge disappointment to all of us. Do you remember in the old three-channel universe we used to care about Miss America and Miss Universe?
Mm-hmm. Miss America?
Yeah, both.
And Miss
Universe. We used to care about the pageants I'm talking about in the three-channel universe. Do they get ratings anymore?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think so. I don't know what channel that was on last night, but isn't Miss America on, like, cable access now or something?
I think it's on C-SPAN 3, right? Isn't that where they run it?
Right. They found something even more boring than regular C-SPAN 3 to watch.
It's a bit of a slow day in show business, but we do have some other stories here. Somebody from Glee was arrested.
Yeah, one of the actresses on Glee, her name is Naya Rivera. She's charged with domestic battery, accused of hitting her estranged husband. They got into a fight, according to reports, about their 2-year-old son. She smacked him in the head and face. The estranged husband says he's got video of the incident. She has been released on bond.
James Bond, yes.
She's the one that played Santana.
On Glee?
Yeah.
What was Santana? Lopez.
She was a singer.
Oye, cómo va?
Ron Howard's father died.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Rance Howard.
He referred to him very fondly.
He did. He put out a very, as Ron Howard is always eloquent, but put out a lovely tweet over the weekend announcing the death, saying how proud he was, how he and his brother Clint, who's also an actor, were so proud to be the son of Rance Howard, who had an acting career on his own. He was more than just Ron Howard's father and Dallas Bryce Howard's grandfather. She tweeted out a beautiful poem that she said that her grandfather, Rance Howard, used to read, recite from memory all the time. And it's just a lovely verse, and she says she's going to keep that tradition alive with her and her children.
Wow, that's nice.
To pass that along. But Rance Howard, 89 years old.
Is it Rance or Reince?
Rance, R-A-N-C-E.
Oh, okay, because I thought he was the only other Reince other than Priebus. Standing by on the phone now with an opportunity for us to do an exclusive interview. Can I get his music, please? That's right, Paul Coit live in London. Let's go live to Paul Coit. who is standing by watching for the Meghan Markle Prince Harry news. Dean Richards is with us as well from Channel 9, Paul.
Paul, good morning.
Hello, Dean.
We had Paul on the TV morning news this morning because we have long since stolen Paul from Steve.
Of course, yeah.
As one of our favorite guests on the show.
Right, right, right. And Paul is tremendous. What light can you shed on this story? Are the kids happy, Harry and Meghan?
Harry, you know what? You've got to the point in your life now where you're calling them the kids, which is a worry. Did you notice that? They're the two that are getting married and you're calling them the kids now. That never used to happen years ago.
No, it did. You know why? Because years ago, we were the kids. They seem very happy with each other.
They're getting married, so they are very happy with each other. It's all very rosy. It's all very lovely. It's a royal wedding. That's what happens. It's all love and happiness and excitement and pomp and ceremony, Steve.
Didn't it sound good the way Paul was telling me that was a stupid question, the way he framed that answer?
Here's what I heard.
No,
Steve, you blithering idiot is what I heard.
Yes, that's right. Dean, you have a follow-up for Paul.
I do. I'm wondering how Brits are reacting to this union. She's American.
Yeah.
She's in show business. I mean, she's got a lot of things that in the past, abdication would have been appropriate.
Well, the main thing we're looking at is she's got a lot of Twitter followers. So that can only be good, can't it? Really?
Is that how they do that?
That's the only reason I've approved.
Yes, so that's good. That's one good thing. I know what you're referring to. You're referring back to 1936, where King Edward VIII,
yes,
who was the Queen's uncle, married a divorcee from the United States.
Yes.
Our history repeats itself many years on. And it was scandal. He had to abdicate the throne for the love of Wallis Simpson, and you all know the story. And then the Queen's father, George VI, who then became king. So it's like history repeating itself. But I think it's probably okay these days, to be honest with you. I don't think it's too much of a problem. But it is quite interesting the way that it's all happening all over again.
And Dean, you'll remember that, and Andre, you may as well, that Edward was turned loose in the woods and they chased him down on a fox and hound hunt.
Huh? By Judy Dench.
Oh.
Yeah, remember that?
I saw that in the Colin Firth movie about
that. The other interesting thing is that Wallis Simpson, back in 1936, had almost exactly the same amount as Twitter followers
right,
as Meghan Markle has now. What a coincidence that is. It used to do it by Morse code, though, in those days.
It was a gas-powered Twitter. Back then, yes.
It was
with a crank.
Spoken.
Yes. Do you have anything for Paul?
Paul, just if I know the Queen said she's delighted, but could she have put her foot down and said no, no, no? Would that have, if that had happened, would Harry pull up? Yeah. You're not my grandma. No. Oh wait, you are.
No, Meghan would have been executed had she said
no.
It just would have been a disaster. So the royal protocol is that Harry then has to go to the Queen, obviously on one knee, and say to her, is it okay if I marry this common American actress divorcee? And she says yes, and then everything's fine. But if she said no, then, of course, we know what would have happened.
Will there be a big pomp and circumstance wedding like we've seen in the past from others, or because Harry is, I think you said that he is a fifth in line of succession, because he's not near the top of the list, will they just go to City Hall and get it done?
No, I think there will be. See, the interesting thing is we always use the word pomp, like you say, pomp and circumstance, pomp and ceremony, but actually there's no one actually in the world that knows what the hell those two words mean. So we just say them all the
right,
time.
Right, pomp, they sound very British.
Makes me sound smart. Right.
We don't even know what the phrase is. It will be big. It will be after April, I imagine, after the royal baby's born, and then they'll do their thing then.
All right, final question. Is Harry truly in love with her, or was this just a ruse so he could meet Ryan Seacrest?
Oh, now that's a good point. I never actually thought of that. At the moment, I think there's something in this. I think there is. So what's going to happen down the future? Well, let's just wait and see, because we're talking about the royal family, and we're talking about, Hollywood. So who knows? But I think it'd be very, very exciting and very interesting to watch.
I've been listening to an exclusive interview with Paul Coit, expert on all things royal, or just a guy with a British accent. You decide. All right, my friend, hold the line. Dean, thank you.
Steve, it's been my pleasure.
Oh, it's been all my pleasure. Which one's
tomorrow.
Getting married again? Harry? I always liked Wills.
Join us again tomorrow for the Monty Python Hour.
Tell Charles I'm still kicking.
And at the wedding, I'd like some Spam.
It's nice that Mrs. Doubtfire could weigh in on the...
Tell Charles he cannot have my hat. Thanks. Back with Coach Mike Ditka. News first with the big story. And today it is?
It is a couple of threats at a suburban high school today.
Oh, boy.
Extra
all right, in a moment
on
720 WGN.
Ditka.
Well, it's coming right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
the me. Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best pairs conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
It's the coach, Mike Ditka, the legend. Good morning, legend.
Hi. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Everything was good. Really, we had a good time, yeah. Good fun.
What's your favorite? Are you a turkey guy, a stuffing guy? What do you like?
You know what? I like them all, but I tell you what, I really like cranberry sauce now. I don't know
what?
Why I got a taste for that, but I ate a lot of cranberry sauce.
What? What? Who are
yeah,
you?
I like it.
Come
I
on.
I like it. Wow. It kills the image, but so what?
Do you like it? Do you like it right out of the can where it comes out and then you slice it up?
Well, what I get is kind of like jelly, so that's what kind I eat. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay.
I never heard of slicing up cranberries, but that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine too.
I think you should never be able to slice jello-like objects. You know, it's just me. Hey, do you follow the college game much anymore?
I watch it all the time on Saturdays. I watch as much as I can. I watched a lot of it Saturday. I don't know exactly what you're going to ask.
Well, I was going to ask about Auburn, Alabama. Were you surprised how Auburn handled them?
I was. I really was. I think Auburn did a hell of a job. I mean, you can't say enough for their coaching and the players and to go out there. Listen, if they played 10 times, I think Alabama would win 9. It's just the way it is. But that's a great rivalry.
Yeah.
And, they beat a real good football team. I'm not sure there's a better football team in the country than Alabama, but we'll see.
See, I think, Mike, you thought that Steve was going to ask you about your alma mater, Pitt, knocking off Miami.
Yeah.
And what, every year they come up with a big upset like that.
And the coach called it at halftime.
He did.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, the coach has done a great job at Pitt. You know, listen, that's good for their program, good for their recruiting, everything. Now, that's terrific. What a great win it was.
So college football gets turned on its ear, and, of course, we're excited around here for Northwestern and Dave Ennett, the voice of the Cats. This Northwestern team, 20th in the nation now, Coach.
Well, I tell you what, you got to love what the coach is doing up there. I mean, what they're doing at Northwestern I think is special. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I love the guy. I think they do a great job of coaching. You can't recruit against these other teams in the Big Ten, but they're doing a good job of it. I mean, they can play with other people. He's got them believing, and he's got them playing hard, and that's all you can do.
Dave, what bowl do you think you guys will end up in?
We'll find out Sunday. I mean, there are a couple of possibilities. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego is the one that's been talked about the most, but there's still some talk about maybe the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day. So, it's kind of going to depend on how this Big Ten championship game goes on Saturday between Ohio
Wisconsin
State and Wisconsin.
Looks good. Oh,
they do,
man.
But Ohio State looks pretty good also. It'll be interesting.
All right, Coach, so we had an ugly game yesterday. I mean, you could have seen it coming, obviously, with these two teams headed in different directions. But are the Eagles the best team in football now?
Yes, without a question. And their quarterback is playing at a level that's really special. I mean, he's a very good football player, makes great decisions with the football, got a great arm. They're doing a good job on all sides of the ball. I didn't think that would happen. I thought the Bears would really had a chance to beat them, really upset them. But, I mean, the Eagles are really a good football team. I mean, and sometimes you're going to get beat by a better football team. That's all there is to it.
One of the subject lines in the locker room afterwards was about the celebrations by the Eagles, the choreographed celebrations.
Bowling.
Kind of bowling, the group selfie, all this stuff. And, I mean, this is obviously it's a trend. The NFL eased the restrictions on celebrations. But But if you're an opposing player, Mike, and you see that happening, as Kyle Long in particular took exception to it, well, I mean, there's not much you can do about it, right, except keep them out of the end zone.
Well, I agree with Kyle Long. I don't think there's any place in football for it. I don't know where this has come from, but it's got to the point where the league ought to put a stop to it, really. Football is football. Respect the game. Have respect for the game of football. The football has been here for a long, long time. Score a touchdown, great. It's okay. But, you know, don't do a dance and no choreographed stuff. I mean, to me, it's trivial. I mean, it's childish. It really is.
I remember when who was the Cowboys and the 49ers wide out? He was just on Dancing with the Stars forever. Why am I drawing a blank? The guy was just on Dancing with the Stars.
Terrell Owens?
Terrell Owens. Remember when Terrell Owens with the 49ers went to the Cowboys star and started dancing around? And I don't remember which one of the Cowboys it was, but you know what he reminded me of, Coach? It was like a Bob Lilly. He went like 30 yards and just gang tackled him right in the center. There's your respect for the game. You don't do that on our star, on our field.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that was, but I do remember that, and you shouldn't do that, really. I mean, there's a time and place for everything, you know. I think the game, football has to be a game where you have to really respect it, respect your opponent, respect what's going on, and then, you know, play the game. Play the game with respect, and the other guy's trying, you're trying. You know, sometimes you're going to beat him, sometimes he's going to beat you, but play the game with respect because I think that's the most important thing.
I know. I think sticking yesterday about you, Coach, with the old, the early 60s, Bears, the Eagles. I mean, Eagles were a great team back then, too. And I don't remember when Chuck Bednarik got out of the game, but he was one of the toughest guys to ever play. Did you ever play against him?
Oh, yeah. I played against Chuck a couple times, yeah. I came in the league in 1961. We won the championship in 63. We played the Eagles a couple times in 62, 64. I think we beat them once. They beat us once. But they were really, really a good football team. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in Pittsburgh. So I was an Eagles fan because of a running back named Steve Van Buren.
Okay.
Tommy Thompson, quarterback, you know. They had some really good football players in those days. So I was kind of an Eagles fan, but I look at their football team right now. They're good. That's all I can tell you. They did a good job. Their quarterback's outstanding.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see anybody beat them in the NFC, but we'll see because we're still 5 weeks away from the end. All right, last question from Dave.
All right, so obviously a rough day for Mitch Trubisky yesterday. How do you keep him just pumped up now? How do you get him to shake this one off? Because he was clearly down after that game yesterday, and he hasn't been through this a whole lot.
No, I think it's up to Mitch, really. He has to understand. You put it behind you. It's one game. It's not the end of the world. You know, you bounce back, and that's what great athletes do. They make a bounce back. They come back. They play better the next week. I think, you know they got to have – he's got to have some help now, you know. I understand he didn't play his best game. There's no question about that. I was watching it. But – you know, he's my quarterback. I got to support him. I got to be behind him, and I got to go with him.
It's the coach, Mike Ditka. Appreciate the insight always, Coach. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye. I heard a little wind there. You think Mike's ready to tee it up?
I did notice that. Yeah, that wouldn't shock you, would it?
Not at all.
I wish life were like a classic TV show, when families ate together without smartphones and distractions.
The Vaughn Dining Table reminds me of those TV family dinners.
You're right.
It's small in scale, but still comfortably seats even the tallest relative.
I'm 6'3", and I'm quite comfortable.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Breakfast with the Blackhawk later. Brian Campbell will join us. And the Hawks seem to have figured it out. And hopefully we can keep the roll going. Good to see Kaner and Taves score.
Right? Mm-hmm. Saturday.
Same game? Yep. How about that? Patty Vasquez joins us. Always nice to see Patty. How are you?
I'm great. Brian Campbell's one of my favorite Blackhawks
ever.
Are
you a good guy?
Yeah. He helped Autism One and a school on the northwest side of Chicago, Beard Elementary School.
What's Autism One?
Autism One is another organization that helps, helps make sure that people have the resources and the research.
So he helped fund the playground, right?
The playground is wonderful. I need to send him some photos of the kids playing
you should.
There.
You'd love that.
Yeah, it was remarkable work he did.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. You know, I whenever I cook Thanksgiving, I did all the dishes.
Oh, you did?
This year, yes, except for the cranberry chutney my mom made.
Did you hear Dean killed his family?
Well, that was the thing, is that there is always a moment of fear that I'm going to start getting those phone calls. So now I may never cook again. Because
who'd you cook for?
For my family, and then my friend Elliot Serrano, who's a regular on the show.
Okay.
And then I brought all the leftovers here because we do a show every year called Second Thanksgivings, where I bring a lot of the regular guests, and they have their Thanksgivings, and we come here and tell stories from around the dinner table.
And what, Elliot had nowhere to go, so you rescued him?
Well, we did it the day before. I did it on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
And yes, he didn't. I think he hunkered down, or I think he had one of those Thanksgivings that's vegan. Which is fine. I mean, that's...
No, it's not.
Have
a separate holiday if you're vegan.
I took into consideration a lot of things. I did gluten-free dishes. I did nut-free dishes. I did some vegetarian dishes. There was a lot of cooking.
Well, that sounds tasty.
It was a good time.
Did you serve to Dean's family? No, wait a minute.
No.
Yeah, this is a good time for me to be the old guy. You know, back in the old days,
you ate
what was put in front of you, and you went to the hospital like a man.
But that's always my fear, my paranoia, that I'll start getting those phone calls. And Dean was talking about it yesterday, that next year he's going to have like big gravy boats filled with Pepto-Bismol and a side of Tums.
That's good eating.
That is some
good stuff. It is funny though, because one year we went to Thanksgiving on my mom's side, this long time ago, and they served, in addition to pumpkin pie, rhubarb pie. And I'm not a fan, and I'm little, and I'm kind of making soup out of it. And my mom leaned over and she went, "You're going to eat that." And I went, "But I don't like the taste of it." She said, "I don't care. You're going to eat
it." And now it's slop because you mush it up.
What is rhubarb?
It's like
a root vegetable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like it's sweet. Yeah. You can make like rhubarb cherry pie. It's delicious. It's very tart.
What would you have at a vegetarian Thanksgiving? Like a tofu turkey or something?
Tofurkey, sure.
Tofurkey.
Could you have halibut?
You know, I went to a Thanksgiving once that had fish. And you eat what you're given. But sometimes you're given things that is just not what you want.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Thanksgiving is you have those ideas.
Sandberg, didn't you cook too? Sandberg.
Did everyone turn out all right?
I wanted to have halibut.
Yes. I wanted to have halibut, but everyone else wanted.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah, she wanted halibut.
People wanted turkey.
For turkey.
I thought you wanted a steak.
Well, I said steak or halibut.
Why don't you just do that on Friday?
She was cooking. This is the part I don't understand, because I told her, make a steak. You're cooking. Make yourself a steak.
And Patty, as you know, is the person who cooks. Adding an extra thing on to cook when you're already cooking the other seven things is not really helpful.
Well, that was the problem.
A steak takes 4 minutes.
Hey, guys, you hang tight while I've made all your other dishes. I'm going to go grill myself a steak.
Right.
I'll be back in 10.
Nobody's going to complain.
No,
I don't think so.
You know what they'd say? They'd say, hey, make me a steak, too, because turkey is kind of underrated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're taking orders? I'll have our piece of rhubarb pie.
Oh, man.
I've never been in a restaurant with somebody where they ordered turkey off a menu.
If somebody had a vegetarian Thanksgiving, I wouldn't know what to avoid. Because, you know, when you're a vegetarian Thanksgiving, I know I'm not going to have a green bean casserole. Because all the other stuff I'm going to eat.
Right.
You know? But if you're having a vegetarian Thanksgiving, I go, none of that's for me.
Can't do any of this.
I think you can just eat cauliflower. That's the only thing.
Oh, I made really good mashed cauliflower, by the way. I made mashed potatoes.
That's for the gluten-free people?
Yes.
The cauliflower.
Wait, this is in lieu of mashed potatoes?
Low carbs. Both. I made both. I made mashed cauliflower, mashed potatoes, low carb stuffing, regular
cornmeal.
Did
you make cauliflower rice?
Oh, my goodness.
A lot. I ran out of space.
I did not invite these people over next year.
I know.
I tried making cauliflower rice.
Yeah.
What's cauliflower rice?
It's a hot thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like a hot thing. You grind up the cauliflower and you make it out. You turn it into rice, but you can flavor it and spice it in different ways.
Okay,
presto changeo.
But yeah, you have to say the magic words, and it involves removing an apron very quickly. but you know what it tastes like? It tastes like cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
Yeah.
That's why you use so much roasted garlic in the mashed cauliflower, so it tastes
What's
just like roasted garlic.
What's your least favorite Thanksgiving item?
Brussels sprouts. Why are there so many Brussels sprouts? I went to my sister-in-law.
Not a fan.
It's
a big deal now.
Not a fan. Sprouts are a big deal.
They're kind of gross. Unless you add bacon and cheese. You got to add bacon to it.
My brother-in-law deep fried them. and then covered them in Parmesan cheese.
See,
so
now that I would
it's
eat.
It's like eating a chip.
That I would eat.
See, that's good. But Brussels sprouts are Brussels sprouts.
I don't understand why these keep coming back every year.
My mom made a really good...
If you want gas, leave the table, go to Taco Bell, hit the drive-thru, and come back.
My mom made a really good dish. It was zucchini cut up, and then there was like a tomato sauce on it, a little bit of garlic and some spices.
I wonder if you can see a picture of that dish on our gallery on WGNradio.com of all of our Thanksgiving.
You can also see Amy Cochran helping Abigail Grace put an ornament on
it. It's the best picture of the gallery, that picture.
Pretty darn cute.
You just need that one. Why do you need anything else?
Sandberg's in charge, you know.
I'm teasing. That's good stuff.
So Thanksgiving is fine. You didn't poison anybody.
And no fighting, by the way. No sight of resentment at my table. There seemed to be... Everyone was in a good mood.
We had a rather remarkable thing happen, and there's no way to truly explain this on the air. But you know my brother Mickey, that everybody loves, and why wouldn't you? Mickey and I are both adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a family revelation. Mickey stayed back in New York. He did not come out for Thanksgiving. And there was a family revelation that came out over Thanksgiving. That was something that he was not aware of, that he was made aware of, and I was not told he would be made aware of it. And it was like, you know, it's one of these, it could have been a problem. He handled it like a man, and it was good. But, I mean, it's one of those
things. This sounds so mysterious.
Yeah.
Well, it's just it's such a hard thing to explain. It really is. And I'll tell you guys off the air about it. And if anybody wants to come into the show in the next few minutes, just come in the studio. And
that works.
You guys sit in a circle and I'll explain it. But it involves a family relative who is not who he thought he was to my brother.
Whenever I hear stories like this.
When we're both adopted.
I've heard stories like this where people find out they have siblings they never knew about or that.
And my brother has special needs.
Yeah.
And my brother should, you know, not have life-changing surprises thrown at him. But because he's who he is, and this is a lesson, you know this as a special needs parent. You learn so much from the people who have special needs, and it is a great gift. It sounds crazy to say that, but it truly is a great gift. And he gets up every day, and he tries to be happy. That's what he does. He tries to be happy. He's nice to people. He reaches out to people who are sad. He tries to make them happy.
That's great.
He just does those kind of things. So I was deeply concerned about this thing that came up. And he saw it as very black and white, the way he does. It's like, okay, here's the information I have. Now these people are different in my world, but it's not a bad different. It's just different, and I'm moving on.
Right. Yeah. No, it is what it is. That's how
the
Declan
rest
is.
Of us would just harangue it and just go, well, I was doing that here.
Yeah. Well, because we have a lot of it has to do with ego and id and all that.
Like, I haven't been codependent in a long time. You know, I'm kind of a codependent flashback. But other than that, no drama. Dave, did you have any drama at your family?
Any drama? None?
None. No drama at all. I'm sorry.
Drama free?
We didn't have
you
any.
You Greeks always
have
drama.
No, we had no drama. It was fantastic. It was fun. It was great. It was good. The only little bit of a drama was at the end. Everybody brings a dish because my cousin makes the turkey.
Nothing in it. They just bring a dish.
But no, we bring a side item or something like that. And everyone makes their homemade recipe. Well, I don't know a lot of time, and I really love this Greek dish called pastizo, and it's like Greek lasagna. It's wonderful. So I went to this Barton Brothers Deli, or you can get them in Greektown too, or Dial a Baklava at our church does that. And you can.
I'm sorry, there's a place called Dial a Baklava?
The business is called Dial a Baklava, and it's the
call that right now.
Elderly ladies of the church make all the cookies and the baklava, and they make this particular dish, and you could buy
it
there.
But do you literally call a business called Dial a Baklava?
The business is called Dial a Baklava.
Yeah. They're going to be busy
today. And I think
today.
The website is dialabaklava.com. Right, okay. So anyway, my aunts and cousins all volunteer there. So I called. I didn't get this from the dialabaklava, but I got the pastizo, cooked it. I thought it was delicious. And at the very end, I heard, you know, gossiping that, well, it wasn't homemade. And I said, but I heated it up so well. I mean, it took me 90 minutes to cook that in the oven.
That's investment of resources.
That's a lot of time. But they said, no, it was good. It just, you know, it was just maybe a little drier than it would have been if it was homemade coming right out of the oven.
Oh, that
was the biggest drama.
Yeah, how about they don't eat next year? Huh?
Yeah. Well, that's what I
how
said.
How about that?
You get what you get.
No, it was really good.
Just say, here's your rhubarb pie.
Yeah, exactly.
What's
there
rhubarb?
You go. Touché.
A root vegetable?
It's
like
I think it's a root, isn't it?
It's not that good.
I'll find out what's going on with your show.
All right.
Talk more with Patty in a second. 9:21.
Thank you, Patty.
We'll take a break here. Patty Vasquez every night from 11 p to 2 a. Couldn't be more opposite ends of the earth in this hour.
That's why I show up, so people know that I exist.
Yeah, you're alive. Listen to her tonight. All right, back with more Patty in a moment. First, here's this on CLTV and 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez here. Anything you want to plug on your own show?
We're going to be talking about jujitsu tonight because I took my very first jujitsu class, and I know.
Right, now, okay. I was confused. I thought jujitsu was wrestling Jewish people. That's
not actually what it is. I mean, if you're wrestling someone who happens to be Jewish, but it's not specifically that.
But it is a form of martial arts that's sort of a wrestling.
It's grappling, yes.
You were so funny when she came in today. She said, "Oh, we missed you at jujitsu." And I said, "I'm sorry, what?"
You're like, "What word soup are you throwing at me?
I don't know that.
I don't understand any of this."
So there's a picture. Have you posted that photo?
I have posted that photo. There are a lot more, too.
There's a picture of Patty harming someone from our sales department.
Jen, yes. No, yeah. I think she's in a new news and traffic.
Oh, she's in news.
Yes. Okay. Here, there are some photos that are probably hard to really make out what body part is what. But it is about being empowered and feeling confident if you are unfortunately attacked. The reason I wanted to do this, I saw a video of a woman. It was obviously a demo where she's being shoved into her car and this guy is trying to attack her. And she basically ends up choking him with his own shirt.
Wow.
And I was like, need to learn how to do that.
Do you feel self-defense secure considering, you know, you work late at night and you travel a lot when you're doing stand-up and all those things?
I actually have been thinking about I have my FOID card. And I've been thinking about getting my carry and conceal, but I think I'd rather do this first. So you're looking at me like, I don't know if Patty should have a weapon.
That's exactly what I think. As your friend of a long time, I'm going to advise against that.
Okay.
or
someone cuts me off in traffic.
Maybe we start out with a tactical pen.
Or give it to us.
And then you work your way up from there.
To store for you and just call it us if you need it.
I'm a big believer in women ought to be self-defense secure.
Oh, right.
Taking classes or whatever to feel like you can defend yourself.
Well, and I took martial arts before at Deggerberg Academy on the Northwest side. And I made it to orange belt. I was about to go to a green belt and they started hitting me in the face. And I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore because we were sparring. And I was like, I don't want to do this.
Is black after green?
No, there's like it's green and blue and purple and brown and then black.
There's raw umber, orange, yellow.
I think there might be several.
You go through the entire curl of box until they get the
burnt sienna,
something like that.
Teal.
Right. What about you? You feel secure when you're walking?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think I carry mace with me all the time too.
Do you? I didn't know.
I do. I have mace in my bag and mace in my car.
But do you hold it in your hand when you're alone?
My mom always says that too. She's like, when you go bike, you carry that mace.
But see, here's the thing. This always amazes me because I have seen women throughout my entire life. Spend 45 minutes trying to find their keys in their purse.
Yeah.
Oh my
How
gosh.
Would you find the mace unless you got it in your hand?
Well, I have it in the
Excuse
side
me.
Pouch.
Excuse me, sir.
So it's right here.
Sir, please stop your attack until I find my mace.
It's accessible, and you better be careful. But we do stories on this all the time. We just interviewed someone in the South Loop. There's all this rash of robberies and carjackings and whatnot. So we interviewed a girl, and she did the interview, and she said, yes, I try and be cautious. I try and look around. I watch for my surroundings. I'm very scared right now. And as soon as we finished the interview, she put her earbuds back in and continued walking.
Oh, no.
Now, it's broad daylight, but so many of these attacks are happening now at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's a good point.
Or 10 o'clock in the morning.
So and here in the loop.
You know what? Honestly, don't put the earbuds in. You Mm-mm.
know?
No. Listen to the music.
Especially when you're alone.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to our friend Mark Kerman?
I do. He was filling in after my show, actually, on Thanksgiving night. Left his keys in the car with the car running in Highland Park at a gas station.
What a shocker. The car was stolen.
I know. Well, I was surprised to find out afterwards how many people do that.
Oh, my gosh.
What is happening? Why would you do that? Oh, I was going for a minute. That's how long do you think it takes?
Turn your car off and take the keys.
There have been 15 to 18 carjackings in this area since mid-October. So in a month and a half, 15 to 18 carjackings. I think 90% have had either the car running or left the keys in the car.
Is it jacking when you leave?
No, that's not a carjacking.
It's an invitation.
Correct.
It?
Yeah. It's classified because they're taking your car against
that's
your will.
Convenience.
But,
yeah, but somebody has to be actually watching you. And, you know, it seems like
it's
they have to be stalking you to see
that. More often than not, they're just crimes of opportunity.
No, spur of the moment things?
You see someone, like, say, Cochran, not that you would ever do this. You leave your keys in the car and you go.
I've done it in the past. I don't do it anymore.
Just think how quickly it can be, you know, you go to the gas pump. There's the car right next to you. They pull up. They see your car. Boom. You're done.
Yeah, my niece was carjacked in Milwaukee, and she did the same thing, left her car running. But she was in an alley. Her car was in a back alley. She ran in the house to get her coffee.
What? Oh, that's safe.
Well,
no.
But again, I don't understand.
Somebody must have seen her.
I don't
understand
the advantage to leaving your car on.
You got
to
be smart.
People they want to keep their cars warm.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Even on the coldest day, if you're just running in and running out, your car's not going to lose all of the heat in the time you run in and run back out.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, but to start your car again uses a little more gas.
It's worth keeping your car.
Hey, good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hadn't thought of that part.
Are you going to hang around?
Yes, I would love to. Right, I'm filling in for Bill today, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
All right, cool. So is it Patty and Wendy? Wendy and Patty?
It's Wendy's show, and I'm hanging out with her.
Okay, good. Wendy Wendy and Patty hanging out with her coming up. That's why you guys don't have any billboards. Couldn't find one big enough. It's 9:31. More in a moment with the big story right after this on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
.942, this Breakfast with the Blackhawk, as always, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB does mean business. And it's my friend Brian Campbell. Good morning, Mr. Campbell. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was good. We're just around the house and lots of keeping the kids busy, and it was good. Really, really good. Got the tree up, so we're all excited about that.
How many Canadian turkeys does it take to equal one American turkey? I mean, do you have to have extra turkeys, or how's that work?
Yeah, usually it's two Canadian turkeys for one American turkey.
Oh.
Shorter season up there, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Listen, I know it's the holiday season, and I don't think your girls are as big a fan of the show as you are, so I think we can talk about this safely. But what do your girls want for Christmas?
My oldest wants a Hatchimal, and my 2-year-old just want anything Shimmer and Shine. It's a TV show, so.
I don't know what that is. Shimmer and Shine.
Yeah, it's a little genie TV show. Genie, these two little Shimmer and Shine girls. So she loves that stuff.
Can you hook up Soup with a Hatchimal?
Yeah, but be careful of the Hatchimals because they recalled a lot of them. You know, it's like this egg, and then you know you're supposed to love it, nurture it, and then this little fuzzy thing pops out of it, and it's like a little robot bird that is yours. But some of them were malfunctioning, Soup. So I would be careful.
What do they mean? They
don't get them like on
something?
The black market.
Do they talk?
They just don't work. But most do, but some they had to recall. Just be careful. Don't buy them, you know, off the street.
Okay, we went to Target, so we'll go to Target.
I think you'll be okay.
I think Target's giving you the good ones. Our friend Patty Vasquez is here. And how long has it been since you talked to Soup?
Probably about six or seven years, maybe.
Yeah, so remind him the connection.
I want to thank you again for all the hard work you did and the funds that you raised for Beard Elementary School and the incredible playground. And it's just a wonderful legacy. My son had a great time. I mean, I have so many great pictures I've been meaning to share with you and the work you did for Autism One. We're so grateful for the work you did. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patty. I think when I got traded initially to Florida there, that was kind of one of the biggest disappointments is that you know, you do some work and then you move away. But a lot of good things that went into that.
Your work remains, so please know that.
Yeah, do you have someone you have someone in your life with an autistic child that you're aware of?
No, I don't. But when I was playing in Buffalo for the Sabres there, I had some good friends, and one of the ladies, she worked at a school there.
Okay.
So I just got involved, and I really enjoyed it, and then I wanted to bring that to Chicago.
Yeah, well, it was a very nice thing to do, and I know you continue to do a whole bunch of work that helps others, like Hockey Fights Cancer Night with a big purple carpet event. That's tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited for these kids. You know, they're the ones that keep on fighting and keep going. So it's going to be great for them to see them walk the carpet tonight and get some big cheers and obviously a great thing that the NHL does, and obviously the Blackhawks probably do it first class compared to anybody else. So it'll be some kids on the ice tonight and a little girl dropping the puck. So it's really exciting. It's such a great event that the NHL does.
And in support of cancer awareness, the players tonight are going to wear one-of-a-kind lavender jerseys during warm-ups, and those are going to be autographed by the player who wore it and then auctioned online. So that's pretty cool. Lavender Hawks jerseys.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen
it? My daughters would love those, right?
Right. Exactly. Blackhawks have also partnered with Make-A-Wish Illinois and Bare Necessities Pediatric Cancer Foundation for that pregame on-ice recognition that Brian Campbell was just talking about. And Lauren Graver is a 9-year-old from Mount Prospect. She's battling a condition which I believe is called rhabdomyosarcoma. It's a rare muscle-based cancer. She's the little girl you were talking about, Soup, to do the puck drop before the game. God bless her and her family and everybody dealing with it. So
yeah,
that's all.
There's a great video. There's a good video of her on Blackhawks website, too, with a little story and stuff. So check it out.
All right, let's talk about this team for a little bit. Good to see Kane and Taves both scoring the other night.
Yeah, I felt like they've really played well the last the little bit here. You know, they had that lull where they're trying to having a tough time scoring, but I feel like the speed of the whole team game has picked up. So it's really good to see. So I know they got 3 games here in 4 nights. They're getting into a little bit heavier part of the schedule, but you really like what they see a lot, what you saw earlier on in the season, and then they kind of went in a little lull, and now they're back going. And then those guys saw getting a goal last game, too, as well, helps just boost some confidence.
3 games in 4 nights, Brian, 5 in the next 7. From a player's standpoint, how do you make sure that you're ready when you're in this kind of a grind where you're playing almost every night for at least a week?
Yeah, a lot of it's mental. You know, it's a lot of hockey, but, you know, you're not doing a lot else. I think it's trying to get your downtime, recover, and there won't be a lot of practices. That's the one good thing about Joel as a coach. He's a veteran coach, and he gives these guys time off to get them prepared so they're playing, you know, at their peak during games and not at practices. So, you know, just a lot of recovery, mentally getting the body ready, but they've had some downtime now, so I'm sure the guys are itching to play a few more games.
As this goes on over the next several days, which game is the toughest, the beginning of the stretch or the third?
Well, it's always, you go game by game, so tonight's game is going to be the toughest. So Anaheim's had a lot of injuries, so, you know, and then they go into Nashville tomorrow night, so that's a, you know, they just keep knocking them off of big games. So I think when you get into a stretch like this, you want to, you know, you want to bank some points early. Is important for them to do that, so you're not grinding, you know, when you get to the later part of the stretch.
You know, Patty, I know that Brian Campbell was your favorite Blackhawk. Do you have a new favorite Blackhawk now?
No, he's still my favorite.
What about guys that are still scared? By the way, Soup, did you know what your fancy title is now? I don't even know if you're aware of this.
I have looked at it a few times.
This is the new title for Brian Campbell. You are... Oh, you're so lucky I lost it.
I have it here. He is Business and Hockey Operations Liaison. Yeah, that's it. Blackhawks Business and Hockey Operations Liaison.
Now, if he did the initials, he'd be a B-hole. Business and Hockey Operations Liaison,
B-H-O-L.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Steve, is Patty still a lot fun? Is
yes.
She still funnier than you?
Oh, yeah. There's never a doubt about that. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
In golf terms, that's a gimme. So, all right. So, give me one more perspective from a player standpoint here. You're looking at St. Louis, 10 or 12 points up. I didn't even bother to look at this point. Do you, as a player, even care about that or look at that at this point, or do you truly just lock in and do that one game at a time thing?
You always look. I think everybody's looking at the standings the whole time, but I think right now for the Hawks, they're kind of bunched up with a bunch of teams, but there's a way to, you're not going to get this done in a week, you know, by climbing up and passing all these teams. But I think it's just the way they're playing right now is the positive part about it. It's been a lot better and, you know, their special teams have been better. So I don't think you're not going to get those, but they play St. Louis probably in this stretch. They play Nashville. So those are games, if you can win that, then we call them 4-point games and you're gaining, you know, the game in hand on that team. So, you know, those are definitely going to be important when you play in your division to try to move up the standings in your division.
Last word for Mr. Campbell, Patty, something you like that?
I'm just, I'm so excited to get to talk to you and thank you again. And it's a great season, by the way, so keep going.
Yeah, and I got a movie, because Soup, I know what a good dad you are. I got a movie you're going to love. I saw a couple movies this weekend, and actually they're both good, but I saw Wonder. I never read the book, but go see Wonder and take your oldest daughter. won't mean as much to your middle one, but your oldest daughter will love it.
I was going to ask if you ever saw Youngblood with Rob Lowe and
that was a good movie.
I've seen Youngblood.
Good 80s movie.
Oh, my. Such a good movie. Patrick Swayze.
I didn't see that coming.
Did you ever see that one?
That's yeah.
My little one might be in that. She's a little terror. She runs around. She just jumped out of her crib the other day. So we had to put her in a big girl bed now. So
she literally got out of her crib at 2?
Oh, look out. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new world.
And we even had the mattress on the floor, and she jumped out of this thing. She's a tiny little thing. She's a spark plug.
Wow.
Yeah, she ain't playing. She's like, I'm out of here.
I don't want to mess with her.
Wow. Yeah. Unbelievable. I got to go tell Abigail Grace to step up her game. All right, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate you doing this. And, again, congratulations on another great event for the Blackhawks. Always doing the right thing, and it's appreciated. Hockey Fights Cancer Night tonight with the Purple Carpet event. If you can be there early, hopefully you will be a part of seeing all of this and seeing that very special little girl do the puck drop and do whatever you can. Go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com and help any way you can. That's Brian Campbell. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys. And it's 9:53. I'm going to try to get one more story in before we run out of time. The people of Malibu, California are just as disappointing as you thought they might be.
I would imagine.
And Dictionary.com has just released their word of the year.
Oh, you got to tell us?
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun.
All right, in a moment on 720 WGN.